Behold, an army shall come.
A fire burneth before them, and behind them is a flame that burneth. The land before them is as the Garden of Eden, and behind them a great wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses, and as horsemen, so they shall run. Join firmly Lazarus, he takes you on a journey into God's own word. It's building time, building time.
Except to bring a word, we are that people. And I've come to rely on the wisdom that comes from Jehovah. This morning, Lord, like an open book, we are hungry. We are set to relieve, to receive from you in the name of Jesus. Thank you, blessed Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, quickly, we discuss the topic, ministry, and they that survive it. You must be very ready to be blessed. Amen. One more time, what did I say? Again. Alright, turn your Bibles quickly to the book of 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, quickly. First Timothy chapter number 2. First Timothy 2, if you are there, say big amen. Alright, if you are in your testament, you are wrong. Alright, let's start reading from verse 1. Paul speaking to Timothy said, "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things you have heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people, who will also be qualified to teach others. Join with me in suffering like a good soldier of Christ. No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please him, to please his commanding officers. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to the rules. The hardworking farmer should be the first to receive a share of the crops." But I want us to look at verse 4. "No one serving as a soldier gets entangled in civilian affairs, but rather tries to please his commanding officer. Similarly, anyone who competes as an athlete does not receive the victor's crown except by competing according to rules. Look up. Alright. So Paul compared the life of a minister with that of a soldier and that of an athlete. Ministry is not all about preaching. You see, the easiest assignment of a minister is preaching. Ministry is not first and foremost about preaching. Ministry is not bettered the day a man starts preaching. Ministry is bettered the day God meets with a man. The starting point of ministry is the point where God meets with a man. And like I always say, that there will always be a clear difference between a man that has confessed Jesus and a man that has met Jesus. So the meeting point of God and a man is the foundation of ministry. And that's why ministry is an assignment that is carried on with a responsibility that is beyond temporal conviction. The reason I'm trying to... Okay. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. So ministry is done with a responsibility that is not a product of an idea. Men who have met God are not in ministry because they have an idea. There are men that the church called. There are men that God called. In ministry, we are not building career. In ministry, it is a responsibility. In career, you will rate yourself based on the money that flows in. In ministry, our rating is based on obedience to the instructions of the master. Are you guess what I'm saying here? Because a man that God meets with, God leaves him with a responsibility called a burden. And it is not everyone that is in ministry that carries this rare anointing called the burden. The anointing is not first and foremost a product of excellent fasting life or prayer life. Some have only passion to manifest the glory, but they have no burden for the people. One of the things that shows to us that God has met with a man is that God leaves him with a burden. This is the burden that makes you stay awake when others are sleeping. This is the burden that makes you dig deeper when others are playing. The day God sees a man that is burdened with the need of his people, that day God has found a man to send. When you're asking for the ministry that God wants you to do, look at the direction of your body. The burden of the Lord and the lives of individuals is a pointer to the specifications of the assignment. Are you getting what I'm saying here?
Yes, sir.
Alright, so it is not everyone that is in ministry or that is similarly seemingly carrying the Bible and calling the name of Jesus with people falling under anointing that is doing ministry. In 2 Corinthians 4 from verse 1, very popular scripture for ministers, the Bible says that seeing therefore that we have this ministry, we do it, we faint not, having received mercy, and we have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness or handling the word of God deceitfully, but by the manifestation of truth we commend ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. To survive ministry, you need to have a strategy for survival. In Proverbs 24, from verse 2,
Through wisdom is a house built.
Alright,
so the number one wisdom of ministry is that the man who is running into the assignment must understand, one, that you need to meet the one who is commissioning you into the assignment. Men who have not had a meeting point with God stand no chance of survival. Let me say again. Men who have no meeting point with God stand no chance. Ministry begins the day you meet Jesus. For Jeremiah, God told him, he said, Jeremiah, stay not as a child. For before you were formed in the womb, I ordained you. To Ezekiel, he said, I will make your face strong against their face. He said, I send you like a sheep to the midst of wolves. To Moses, God appeared to him in the midst of a burning bush. To Paul, he showed up on the road to Damascus. Every man that will do anything for the Lord and survive the vicious attacks from the pit of hell must be a man that God has met. And that is why Jesus called the disciples that they should be with him and he might send them forth. The priority of men who survive and do well in ministry is being with God. You can only survive if you make being with God your priority, not going out for God. You must understand that in ministry you cannot help God. You have to do the portion of the work you have been given to do. So zeal without a meeting place with God is you running out of your lane. There are many men, see, there is a difference between zeal and burden. Zeal is a directionless push. Burden is a product of meeting with God. Zeal makes a man want to walk. Burden makes a man want to pray. Zeal makes a man to want to preach. Burden makes a man to want to commune, to get the solution for his generation. Zeal makes a man to want to do it for people to see him. Burden makes a man to want to do it for God to see him. A man with zeal can do things for men to see. Only a man with burden can tarry in the place of waiting. So both of them look alike, but only one can stand the test of time. Men of zeal run out of zeal once nobody is saying thank you. Men of burden don't run out of burden. The burden is a load of responsibility. Are you getting what I'm saying here? While men with zeal, they are usually the first to come to the church and they will stand like men you will see there forever. They are doing it with emotions without convictions. Bonding is not emotional, it is a product of a conviction. Are you getting what I'm saying here? While men with zeal are shouting up and down, men with bonding, they soak deeper to understand the things that God will have them do. While they look like the same thing, the root is different. You get what I'm saying here? Just like the root of the tongue is in the heart, the root of burden is in conviction out of a meeting point with God. When you see men that have been involved in God's work for years that is beyond the usual, they are not men motivated by anything else other than body. See, for men who will stand the test of time, there must be a fire of body that will not die out. Body is what will make a man go to God in prayer and not ask for the anointing, but ask for his face. Because there are too many people who are praying on mountains, asking for God to fill them with power. Actually, they are not really interested in God, but they love the idea of demonstration. You see, we don't conclude that everyone that is praying out of a pure motive until we understand what they are talking to God about. Long hours of prayer is not necessarily right prayers. You get what I'm saying? In the kingdom, it is not enough to do something. We must understand the reason why you are doing what you are doing.
There are too many people who have watched ministers of God online and have seen them do certain things, and they've seen crowds flock around them, and they want the same thing. These men may take time to pray. They may take 40 days to fast, but the foundation is wrong. Are you getting what I'm saying here? There are men that God has placed a burden of assignment on. There are those who love the idea of ministry. The reason we are having many mixed multitudes in the body of Christ is that we have men who are fascinated by the colorfulness of ministry. When the rigors show up, this man disappears. There are too many people on campuses that we imagine. We look at the way they are thriving, the way they are doing things for God, the way they are burning. We are only thinking that these men are passionate. You see, any point that a man stops, that is where he has passion for initially. We didn't just know. Man is designed to pursue and stop when he gets to his ultimate conviction. There are people that once they get married, forget about it. The idea of ministry is gone. Do you get what I'm saying here? There are sisters in the body of Christ that are burning. But the moment a brother comes, whether he's an idol worshipper or a Muslim, the last question they will ask is his direction in life. All they have been serving God for is so they can put certain pictures on social media and say, I'm married now. We see these people praying. We see them seeking after God. We think that we are having the same conviction. Why is it that all those who used to pray on campus initially, now we cannot trace many of them to the work of God, though they used to be passionate? But the moment they get one or two jobs that brings one or two amount of money, then we discover that this man has never met with God that commissioned. You see, the burden of God is not what stays for a while. So we have too many people that we are thinking they are part of us, but we didn't know that they are only passing through. There is no man that God will meet that will not be laden with the burden of an assignment that will stay forever. So actually, what we are having now in our generation, we are having an assemblage of men that are gentle and are doing fine. They are punctual. They give their tithe and offering. And then the church considers them to be good for certain offices. But these men, deep in their heart, they have no root of conviction. As a matter of fact, they have no connection to the assignment. And we have placed so many of them as pastors. No, there is nowhere a man with body will minister and will sleep off. Let me say this to you again. You know, too many of our churches, when people go, they sleep off. Are you aware? Be honest. Don't lie. They sleep off. True or not true? Why? Because some people are coming to discuss scriptures that is not alive to them. The word of God cannot become alive through your tongue, you know, to the people until it is alive to you first in your heart. So we have men who are preaching from their head, and the best the world could do is to go to the head of the people. Huh? We have men who are preaching from their head. They have read so many things on Google and watched several videos on YouTube. But there is no place for incubation of the Holy Ghost in their heart. So these men bring this stale word to the pulpit, but they have no connection to the people. The pulpit is supposed to be a place where men with the fire connect with people expecting it. We have many worshippers in the body of Christ that are only singing because they have the idea of songs and they have sonorous voices. But these ones have not been called. Somebody gets what I'm saying. There are people who are singing simply because there is the ability to sing. They will sing according to keys, progression, and notes. You know, not all singers are worshippers. Are you getting what I'm saying here? What did I say?
Not all singers are worshippers.
worshipers.
Not all what?
Worshipers.
And not all worshipers are minstrels. Yeah? What did I say now? Not all singers are worshippers. And not all worshippers are what?
Minstrels.
Alright. So there are men that they are doing the same thing we are doing, but the route of operation is different. You can only survive in walking or working for God if you have met with Him in the first place. You need to encounter with the reality of God that exposes you to an assignment. Is not what you should joke with as a man of ministry. You cannot wake up one morning and feel like it looks like God is calling me to do this. It is not a product of what you feel like. You are not to sing, or, you know, like I said the other time, that some people are, we call them worshippers. And the reason we are doing so is because they know how to sing. But we see that these people can sing, but they are not commanding the glory. So the highest we could do when it comes to their songs is to interact with melodies. And this, there's no command of glory. You see, the glory that is within you as a minister will be obvious when you stand to minister to the people. You must have first contracted something that you hope to pass on. Do you get what I'm saying here? So we have people who are standing on the podium with a microphone, with fantastic keyboardists, only to come and lack what it takes to birth the reality of God's presence. So we call them worshippers. There is no worshipper who is a singer alone. The root of worship is in the spirit. For God is a spirit, and they that worship Him must do so in spirit and in truth. So people who are not in spirit but know songs cannot worship. And those who don't know songs and are in the spirit can worship. So we have too many people that they are busy, but they have not met the person they are busy for. So the first thing a minister of God, the point where your ministry is starting from, is the point that God is revealed to you. And this is why Jesus was asking them in Matthew 16. He was asking the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" You are a minister. The conviction you are going with into ministry cannot be a product of what some people said. The revelations you are going to, you are going with into ministry, cannot be based on what people said. Because when Jesus asked them, "Who do men say that I am?" all the things men were saying was wrong.
Yes, sir.
So you cannot enter into ministry based on what somebody said in a book or based on what a pastor said in a message. So the question first is, who do men say that I am? And the question is again, who do you say that I am? Because flesh and blood must have stepped aside for God to reveal something to you before we can say you are a true minister. You cannot afford to meet your generation with an idea. And Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, Peter." Say, "You are Peter, son of Barjona. And upon this rock will I build my church. And the gates of hell will not what? Prevail against it." Upon what rock? The rock of revelation of Jesus. That is, anyone that will start out to, you know, appear before people to say, "I have been sent," must have met with Christ on that rock of his revelation. It must. It is a necessity for Jesus to have been revealed to you. We have, you see, your passionlessness is a reflection that you have not met him. Your passionlessness. There are too many passionless ministers, too many passionless worshippers. When these guys are done singing, you find you are looking for them where they are sharing the message, where the word of God is being taught. And you are amazed at the way they were playing while the message was going on, or while the songs were going on. But after the songs are over, you are looking, where is the keyboardist? These are men who are on the altar, but they are burning strange fire. Why? Irrespective of what you burn, if you have not collected it first hand, it is strange. Somebody get what I'm saying here? Huh? So we are talking about strategies for survival of in ministry. They that survive, first and foremost, the foundation must be correct. And what is the foundation? That God has met with a man, and God has said something to a man, and God is commissioning this man. You must see something that you will never forget. Until God shows something to you, you cannot be shown to your generation. He must take you aside and show you something. No man that will stand the test of time is better from the crowd. I will say this again. Every man that meets with God, there is first and foremost a calling aside. Most people think they have met with God, but you cannot meet with him in the midst of crowd. He must call you. He must beckon you and give you a sound to come closer. One way or the other, some things may not work. You may be looking for admission and it will fail. You may be trying to get married and you are disappointed. Every meeting point with God must come with a nudge. A nudge must come first. It may come to disappointment, but you must discern the operations of the Spirit in the midst of the things that are happening. Some people get to meet with God when everything turns aside. Anyhow possible, God will call a man that he wants to commission. He will distract them. Are you getting what I'm saying here? The way God calls us all is different. My calling is different from yours. If I have gone where I want to go to in life, and I didn't face some disappointment, there is no way I would have seen his call. Sometimes, the best place we have to see the call of God is when we are at the end of our own ropes. You must discern the operations of disappointment. Every disappointment positions you for an appointment with God. Sometimes you are too busy, but it needs you to be disappointed. That when you are at the end of your rope, now you can now come aside and say, yes, Lord, what have you been saying? Brokenness means that God will take a man to the end of himself and reveal the totality of himself to the man. And there are men that have had their lives the way they've always wanted it. There is no point that something was altered. And these men have been going on about saying God has called me. No, sir. You know, every encounter is a product of a man who is going in a direction, but God counteracted him. Everyone that is doing something meaningful in ministry used to have something they want to do in their lives before until God showed up. Everyone that is busy somewhere used to have a place they want to go to, true or not true, until God showed up. So God, first and foremost, beckon on men. Call them at the backside of the mountain. See, veiled from the faces of people. And that's why majority of men who will stand the test of time doing something for God, they are like eagles. They have a culture that is distinct. Not just general birds. These men are like eagles. They are winning in their own ways because God has given them a winning mentality. So we are not men who are stepping out having not met with God. We cannot survive like that. Because there is a generation of demons that will ask you, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Who are you? It takes a man that has met with God to have an answer. Are you getting what I'm saying there? And some people have been doing ministry and at some point, luck, I've met them. I said, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Who are you? So I've been doing ministry and at a point, discouragement, criticism, I've met them and said, Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Who are you? He that fails in the days of adversity fails because the strength is little. And those who wait upon the Lord, their strength can't be little. Somebody gets what I'm saying here? Is somebody get what I'm saying here? So the foundation, the bedrock, the root of ministry is on that rock of the revelation of Jesus. It must be revealed to you, not in general terms or in general name. He's a savior to the whole world. He's the healer to the whole world. He's the redeemer to the whole world. The question is, who is it to you? There are too many people that we have to tell. Sit down, pray, study the Bible, Men with body need not that anyone tell them what to do. The body leads them to a lifestyle. Let me tell you something. The proof that a man carries a burden is in his lifestyle. The burden is evident in all that he does. The way he preserves himself. Have contact with the world, but not contaminated with the world. You get what I'm saying there? The burden separated him. No pastor told Daniel not to defile himself with the king's portion. That's the sign of a man with a burden. No pastor ministered to Joseph that when Potiphar's wife comes, says no. The man with the burden is always focused on the assignment. Burden is focus, and focus is blindness. In burden, you are focused on something, and you are blind to every other distraction. And that's why Paul was telling Timothy, no man that wars entangles himself with a civilian affair. And we are starting the year, and God is beckoning on me. They are choosing. Never you look at the body of Christ and assume there are too many pastors. There are too many pastors, and majority are running on wrong lanes. There are so many people who are just having ministry as a career. Somebody get what I'm saying here? So God wants to meet with a man, then the man can meet with the world. So the place where ministry starts is in the place of what? Body. The place of revelation of Jesus. It must be revealed to you in person. Let me say this to you. The revelation of Jesus is not in the vision that you see somebody coming with white and white. The revelation of Jesus is that a light will break in your spirit. For the spirit of a man is the candle of the Lord, with which he searches the inward part of the belly. The revelation of Jesus is that the candle will be lit and ignited with fire. And then the Lord can see through. There is a spirit in man. The inspiration of the Almighty giveth him understanding. These are the things that takes place when a man meets with God. A light will break in your spirit that is uncommon. There are people with common revelations. When you see them, how is your pastor? Just normal people. We have too many normal people on the altar. Every minister of God is supposed to be a reflection of God's glory. God's glory that is diverse, abundant in quantity that we cannot exhaust. You are to see each minister and wonder about the manifold wisdom of God. You get what I'm saying there? Yes, you have to wonder. Ephesians 3:10. You are supposed to wonder that this man is supposed to be the express display of God's wisdom. But we have too many people who are just usual. Nothing that is normal is a reflection of the glory of God. Huh? The 24 elders have been seeing the glory of God consistently before the throne, and yet there is no point of familiarity with the glory. Because each time the glory shows up, it is not normal. And until you meet God, you will forever be normal. Let me ask you a question. When all things fail, when people start mocking you, when your colleagues start getting married, when nothing seems to be seemingly working, when those who sent you to school are now saying, when are you going to give back? When your health is even failing, would you still be doing ministry? Yeah? But there's something about the nature of men that at any little provocation, we ask ourselves, why am I here in the first place? As shallow rooted crops, they lack root that is deep enough to stand the test of time. Every encounter takes your root deeper. And you know, God has not called you to come and join the generation of passionless people who just are impressed about suits and are impressed about shoes. You know, I used to tell a story about some people who used to watch some programs of Benny Hinn and some ministers of God with me when we were in school. And every time they watch these programs, they comment about their shoes. They look at Benny Hinn's suit. What do you see when you look at healing meetings? Is something breaking loose in your heart that brings tears to your eyes? What do you see when you look at meetings where men have been imparted? There is a flow of emotions where brokenness has been achieved. Something breaks you and you're like, God, use me too! Use me too! Use me too! If you have never prayed that prayer, you are not in use. You see some things. You see the glory of God manifesting to some men. And something within you say, Lord, me too. Not because I want to look special, but because your glory must reveal the earth. And every man that God takes to the backside of the mountain to reveal himself to, he must understand. In that period of time, it's going to be an experience of Deuteronomy 8 verse 3. I was sharing that with you yesterday night. He said, and you shall remember the way which the Lord your God led you. Who led them? The Lord their God led you these 40 years in the wilderness to test you, to prove you, to know what is in your heart, whether you deny him or not. He said, and afterwards I fed thee with manners, which neither you nor your fathers know anything about, that you may know that God, man does not live by what bread alone. A man that has been called to the backside of the mountain to be instructed of the Lord will be fed with what is not normal. He will be fed with a diet that is not usual. Why? The journey is far. We are not talking about diet you eat in the dream. We are talking about strange diet of the world. It will feed you. What are you eating that is different from the general things men are eating on the altar? This one, the Lord will feed you. And when he's feeding you, you don't compare yourself with others. Because there is a stage, there is a period. Those that will do well in ministry don't compare themselves with anybody. It is a separate calling. The proof that you are doing fine is not based on what you are acquiring physically. It is based on your obedience to instructions part time. So we can't rate you, only God can. I can't possibly tell you you are doing fine, only God can. Therefore, if I can't rate you, then you are not to please me. A genuine minister is not a man pleaser. We walk worthy of the vocation wherewith we have been called, because the one who has called us is supervising unto him and is able to keep us from falling and present us spotless before the Father. Huh? You know, let me say this to you. One of the ways you know men that will not stand the test of time in ministry is to look at men who are looking for fame. Let me say this to you. Before every move of God, there is a strange wind that will blow and tall trees fall. And only those that are planted by the riverside. These ones have been broken. When something is broken, like elastic, it can't break again. It is broken. It may bow while the wind is blowing, but after the wind, it stands up again. Huh? You see, man, the moment you notice that there is a root in your heart that wants to be seen, you must pray it out. You must what? Your duty is not to reveal yourself to your world, it is to reveal Jesus. Any feeling or desire that wants to be seen, other than him being seen, must be prayed out. Let me tell you something. Huh? Until you have a meeting point with Jesus, you cannot have a narrow edge. How would I put it now? You cannot have a focal point of assignment in ministry. You have not been called to build the body of Christ. You have been called to build a portion of the body of Christ. He will show you. You cannot do everything. You have been called to do something. Are you getting what I'm saying here? Every minister of God has been called to do something. You have not been called to everybody, you have been called to a people. And until you are busy with the work, the people will not come. Somebody gets what I'm saying here? Are we beginning to see the reasons why our churches are cold? Are we beginning to see reasons why our cathedrals are very lukewarm? Because we have too many people who are just building career around the altar. A genuine minister of God is not working for salary. He's working for souls to be saved. Huh? Whether you do the work when no one is paying you salary or somebody is paying you salary will be a fraction of the body that you are carrying. Somebody gets what I'm saying here? Can we now begin to see reasons why we're having coldness all around the body of Christ? Is it that the moment the church becomes church of adults, it is supposed to be cold? Huh? We think, or we have been made to imagine, that the moment some men cross the age of 50 or 40, they now become cold. But we have men like Benny Hinn, men like Pastor Peter Akilome, men like Bishop David Oyedepo. Every man you see that is distinct has a lifestyle that is a product of an encounter. The calling makes nobody great. Huh? Let me say this again. Nobody is great by calling. We are great by our availability to the calling. You may see an angel pass the heavens open and come and give you a call. Excuse me, sir. That is not a proof that you'll be great. Greatness is not a gift. It is a result. Huh? So ministry and they that survive it must have been those who have had a meeting point with God. And let me say this to you. You see, look up. Look up. When you meet with God, one of the first things He will do is that He will purify you. He will purge you. In Isaiah chapter number 6, Isaiah said, in the year that Uriah died, I, Isaiah, I saw the Lord seated. I didn't see Him. He was not agitated. Seated. And He said, the train of His glory filled the temple. Then said I to myself, who is me? For I'm a man of unclean lips. There is something about the revelation of God that cannot afford you pride. You cannot see Him. No flesh can glory in His presence. When you see God, you see the standard. And the next thing you want to do is to amend yourself, to come into an alignment with what should be. See, the point of brokenness is not the effect of any emotion. Brokenness is what happens when you see His glory. And you suddenly discover that, I am nothing. Huh? Why do we have judgmental people now? Because we are having people who have the word, but have not met with the word. We have men who are not broken. When you meet the Lord, you cannot come out in pride. It occurs to you that despite my self-righteousness, there is more. The glory of God cannot be faked. And you see Him, and the brightness of His glory, the light that comes from Him purifies a man. In John 17, verse 17, all you need to be sanctified. He says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. In John 15, 3, Jesus said, you are clean through the word that I speak unto you. There is something about that which comes from God directly that purges a man. The word of God is two-edged sword only if you are receiving it from Him directly. That's when it is two-edged sword. Sometimes many of us just go to pick some junks and just give the people. It is not piercing you, but you want to pierce the people. Every church will be as hot as the pastor. And if they are cold as the altar. Huh? Somebody get what I'm saying here? So we have men. And let me say this to you. Can we dwell on this a little? Can we dwell on this? When God meets with a man, there is a character that is bettered in the man. There is a character. These men can't talk anyhow. God has met with them. There is a character. Character is not what you try to develop. Character is the product of meeting with God. It's a product of purging. There is a character. There is this level of orderliness that comes. There is this level of humility. When you meet with God, you are not trying to be humble. You become. There is a result. Meeting with God is not seen on a man's lips. It is seen in his life. There is a man that meets with God is a product of a light. This light is bright. Paul had been killing the church, but when he met with Jesus, he called Him Lord. How come we have men who say, I have encounters 20 times in a day, but you can't see the character? These men still live in immorality. They lie. They do these things at will. I have counseled leaders, pastors of churches, who will smile even when they are rebuked for sleeping with a girl in church. There is a character. You meet with the Lord, His life purges you. When you meet with God, you see what you be. You see the standard. There is a purging that comes from an encounter with Him. God may meet you well. He doesn't send you out at all. Meeting with Him refines you. Let me say this to you. I'm not against Bible school. But no one that is doing anything for the Lord that is special is primarily a product of Bible school. I'm telling you. No one. When we have a constant meeting place with God and it's really revealed, there is a character that is bettered. You are not normal. You are not the same with the class of men. This is not about demonstrating power. It's not about trying to demonstrate something. We are talking about a betting that takes place in a man that meets with God. There's a betting. There is a seed from Him that comes with Him to interact with something from you. There's a betting. And then you notice that this lady has been singing for a while, and now she comes to mount the altar and she's singing with a difference. The same songs, but now there's a touch. The same songs. The same songs. Do you get what I'm saying? Not different. She has not gone to learn ill songs. The same songs. But now there is a touch. You must encounter God as the refiner. You must encounter Him as the refiner. That's how to be refined, though. You must encounter Him. In a few minutes, before I move to the next point, I want you to bow your head and tell God, I have been running everywhere. I have been busy, but I have not met the one I'm busy for. I have been doing things, but Lord, today, I ask for a genuine encounter. I ask for something that is definite, something unique, something that is a reflection of a torch. Makosia makosa balabasha. Mayara makosia mana meata mana makosia mana. Ena makosia mana makosia mana meata. Hear us now, God of all the earth, as we pray, as we pray. Hear us now, God of all the earth, as we pray. Hear us now, O God, above here, as we pray, as we pray. I need a definite encounter. Hear us now, O God, above here, as we pray. Until a light breaks in our spirit. Excuse me. What did Paul see on his way to Damascus? Men that did things that were strange, that the world, the head was amazed. What did he show to them at the backside of the mountain? What does God show to people that will make them say, if I die, I die. And if I perish, I perish. To men who have, you know, survived this work that we call ministry. What did God teach them that preserved them? We are not talking about a generation of boastful young people who parade themselves on the altar insulting. We are talking about men who will not say, now we know. Men who say there is more to be known. We are not talking about men who say, now we are the custodian of visions. We are talking about men who have seen something and they are broken when they have seen the span of what is yet to be known. We are talking about men that their lifestyle have been configured. Men like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego that will say, oh Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to reply you in this matter. Men who are not careful about saying no to the system of the world. Men that God has shown something to. There are too many people who are in ministry, but they are confused. You ought not to be confused. You need to see something definite. The assignment is a definite one. It is not something you have to guess. You don't guess your way through it. It is definite. We are talking about a generation of men that God has shown something to. What has He shown to you? Many of us are too busy. We are not too busy to preach, but we are too busy to pray. Many people who parade themselves asking that I'm a pastor, invite me for your program. People who lobby for platforms. These are not men of burden. They don't lobby. Anywhere the man with the burden is, the crowd comes. You don't lobby. Some people that say, I sing, can you bring me for your conference? If you are that a powerful singer, we should have seen you. Say, who promotes my song? Only the anointing promotes a song. But you get what I'm saying here? What did God show to this man? What did Abraham see that made him leave his father's house, knowing fully well that he was never going to turn back? This man has seen something. And see, men who have not seen something may try to imitate them. You will only do that for a while. Because we get to a crossroad. That only men who have seen something can go further. There are crossroads in ministry. That what will carry you on is the encounter you have had with God. Every encounter is to put you on a new pedestal. We will come to a point where different things start challenging men. And I will know those who have really received the calling. When the going gets tough, only those who have met God will keep going. Only them. Talking about strategies. How do we survive? There are men who are in ministry. There is a man that God will use, and there is a man that God will keep using. The man that God has shown something to. The man that God has revealed himself to. When the Lord meets with you, he will break you. And that's what it means to call him Lord. To lord over a thing, you must master the thing. You get what I'm saying? At the primary level, when you are just new, say, Jesus is my friend. But as you go higher, he becomes your commander. The one who instructs you, and you cannot say no, Lord. The one who will tell you, leave Lagos, and you are going to Sokoto, and you say, thank you, Lord. The same Lord who is good here is good there. The one who understands the battle plan and battle strategy. Which fighter fight without getting the battle plan? Who is the man that goes into ministry without being told, this is the strategy for the assignment given to you? It is unique to you alone. When God met with Paul on his way to Damascus, God referred to a man. Referred him to a man. Where do we have the generation of men that say, I follow Jesus, I follow no man? They've not met the Jesus. There are so many people on campus who waste their life. Say, who is your mentor? Who are you accountable to? Say, Bishop David Oyedepo. Your father should know you. This is our pride that has short-circuited us from the flow of grace. When you are proud, you see name. When God breaks you, you see grace. You are surrounded with graces of the things you need.
But until the haughtiness of your heart is humbled, you will never see it. God resists the proud, and he gives grace to the humble. Pride is not in lifting up the shoulders. We see it in the conclusions in your heart, the way you confess, the things you say. Many people are too big to follow because you have not met the Jesus himself. We follow through patience. Eh? We follow with patience. Men who have what? Through faith. There are certain men who have entered the dimension through faith. We follow them with patience. You give yourself to listen to messages. Say, I don't listen to anybody, really. You have not met God. You have not met God. When God meets with you, he humbles you. He breaks you. What he's doing to you is not to hurt you. But until you first go down, you can't climb up. There is a lifestyle for men who have met with him. That's the only way you can survive. Every situation you are confronted with, ask you of your encounter with Jesus. Every situation, ask you, what has he told you? Paul, we know. Jesus, we know. Have you met Jesus? What has he said to you? There are too many men around the pulpit. You can't even tell if they are born again. The way they talk, the way they boast, the gesticulation around the pulpit, you can't tell. What they do with their lives and their time, you can't tell. Can we tell that you have met with Jesus? Can we look at you? The sleeplessness at night, the restlessness in the day, the pressing, the longing, the hunger. These are things that shows a man that has met Jesus. Not boastfulness. And Paul met with him. He came back in Philippians 3:7. He said, everything that were gained to me, I count them as dung for the excellency of Jesus. When you meet with him, he's the only one that matters. When Isaiah saw the Lord, he saw angels with six wings. With two, they covered their faces. With two, they covered their feet. With two, they did fly. Their beauty is not important. Only the Lord is to be seen. Huh? When you see him, you can't stand and say, I'm a man of revelation. What do you know? There is more to be known. You can't stand before him and say, I'm that apostle. Before him, we are not apostles. Before him, we are not pastors. Before him, we are not prophets. We are servants. The ones that have been commissioned. The foolish things of this world that God has selected to confound the wise. You must first accept that you are foolish. And that's why he found you in the first place. When these convictions dawns in your heart, when men criticize you, it occurs to you that who was I in the first place? Or who am I? I'm just the little crumbs of the head that God found and vested with his glory. And this is the reality of ministry. Those who come thinking they are something end up as nothing. But those who come in lowliness of their hearts, those who have allowed the Lord to have a dwelling place in their heart, a character has been bettered. A lifestyle of prayer. These men will pray for long hours and they will never put it on social media. Because the destination, the purpose of prayer is not in lengthiness. Is that we have something we are desiring for. We have a meeting point with the Lord. So we are not a generation of people who want to boast in long prayer. Meanwhile, we have been carried on only in the strength of personal discipline. What will sustain us as we go deeper is the glory of the Lord. I don't pray so I can come to tell you that at the cool of the year that ended, I was a time I waited upon the Lord for 2 weeks in prayer, 7 hours per day, non-stop. When I enter into this mood, I have my reward. And something tells you when you come to meet the Lord and you have encountered his glory, that there is something that is worth waiting for. Don't boast. This is the generation of men that seeks him. Do you get what I'm saying? That you walk with a conviction. When there are ushers in church, there are ushers with convictions. There are ushers who are there because the pastor said, join the ushering department. Every part in the body of Christ will function as a body. They all have a function. But when we have cancerous part there, the whole body is affected. The singer comes, minister and the glory of God prevail, creating a conducive atmosphere for the preacher of the word. We know that the glory is not brought down just because a man is preaching. But every part has done well what they ought to do. This is ministry. It is not a one-man show. It is not about you. It is not about you. I'm saying again, it is not about you. Until you come to that point and you say, Lord, I decrease for you to increase. You've not started ministry. It is not about you. So you can't come and talk down people or eulogize them in iniquity. It is not about you. It is not about your taste. It is not about what you think. Every root of conviction you have to tell God's people must be established on scripture. His will must become your will. This is ministry. Not product of what a man wants to do. Not a product of what the way a man wants it. You will survive here by instruction. The captain of the host is here. He will tell you what to do. And your duty is to pay attention to him part time. Lord, what will you have us do? You can't come out and say this is the word for the year because you perceive in your heart without waiting on him to speak. Do you get what I'm saying here? You can't look at the cool of the cloud and say it will rain. He must tell you. Go prepare your chariot. The rain is about to pour. The Lord must speak to you. This is ministry. His instructions is what carries you through. Not your feelings, not your thoughts. This is ministry. This is how to survive it. The day your pride raised shoulders up, you will lose your throne just like the devil lost his. The day you become the man in front, then God sees from his operation in your life and ministry. In ministry, you are not the set man. He's the set man. You are not the lead pastor. He's the lead pastor. You are a steward as much as they are a steward. Let them put your name on poster and say lead pastor. But in the root of your heart, you know I'm not the lead pastor. I take orders. The day minister comes to a point that he no longer takes order, that day the ministry stops. We are serving here. We are men that takes instruction. The commanding officer speaks. And he said, this is the way you are to follow. I say, yes, Lord. We can't say no. This is ministry. We can't say no to him. We can't take credit for what he has done. If we prophesy accurately, to him but the glory. Have I prophesied based on my intelligence? When we stretch forth hands and men are healed, we only stretch forth hands. He brought the power. This is ministry. And we do everything with decorum, understanding that he is the source. And our ability to last, or the tendency of our longevity here, will be determined by our obedience to the one who is instructing. This is ministry. A time will never come that you are the man in front. A time will never come. You must meet with the Lord. He must humble your heart. He must. When he made Jacob, he broke him. And that was when Israel was baited. The promise will not become enacted as a covenant or as a blessing until he meets with you and break you. You are carrying promises, but you need to meet with the Lord. A time is coming, he will break you. It may be through a disappointment. And the Lord will say, you can't have your way any longer. I'm the one that leads Jacob like a flock. I'm the one that sits between the cherubims. I shine forth. And you say, Lord, I want to do this. And he said, this is not about you. From the day you say, Lord, I surrender, I'm in charge. A minister is fully aware that Jesus is in charge. He's in charge. You are never in charge. This is how to survive. The day you journey from being a sound minister of God to becoming a professional minister, it means you no longer need what is fresh from him. You have the strategy. When you want to lead a song, you know the song to sing that will bring the opera. Who told you that? When you want to preach, you know what to say that will spark the glory. Really? And sometimes the Lord will tell you in your secret place. And this is why anyone that must represent him publicly must first have been with him privately. Because sometimes while you are even studying the word, you are not running in the year to break record to say this year 2019, I have studied the entire Bible. Who sent you? And sometimes he humbles you and tabernacle around just a verse. While studying the word, is the word of God, it's like the journey of the Israelite. Where the pillar of fire stop, we don't move. And sometimes, these things we must understand, they happen in types and shadows. The Holy Ghost tabernacle and says, stay here. You must wait. Where are you running to? Which student run to another class where there is no teacher? The Holy Ghost is the one to teach you. He's the governor of the kingdom. He's the one that laid bare the constitution before you. And he's saying, tabernacle in this verse. You wait.
And our lack of flexibility is a product of our, you know, the fact that we have not met with God. And many ministers are so rigid. When they want to pray for 2 hours, it's 2 hours. They have no antenna, no system is at work to know the leader of the Holy Ghost. And sometimes the Holy Ghost is saying, wait, stand still and know that I'm the Lord, because there are things to tell you. And we are just busy shouting up and down. These are men who have not received first-hand things. You must have an experience with Him before you can build a people that will stand strong in Him. There must be an experience. You must first understand. He must show you the pathway of the Spirit. You cannot come and give us the essay. There is an experience. You must have a lifestyle. When a believer comes to tell me that I wanted to do this, but the Lord told me no, I understand. Because there is a lifestyle. Do you hear what I'm saying here? Sometimes there is a disappointment, and that's how your destiny is to be bettered. Except there is a distraction. He might never be able to speak with you because you are too busy. And sometimes you feel this thing is delayed. Discern it. It is destiny. Do you hear what I'm saying here? I've not come here to excuse delay or to permit it in your lives. But so you need to discern it. Certain operations, things are playing out physically, but they are attempts of the Lord to reach out to you. You are too busy, you are beyond the reach. Sometimes your car breaks down on the road, and while the mechanics are fixing it, then you sit still. And the Lord said, I've been longing for this moment where I can be alone with you. The Lord is like a bride, paracletos, and every bride needs the attention of the groom, true or not true. That's the most important thing. You are too busy to give him attention. I say, I'm busy about your work. He says, stop. Who is the owner of the work? I'm the owner. Stay with me. Intimacy is the language of the Spirit. You must value it. That's the essence of your calling. He says, stay with me. Why are you busy? Am I not the one that commissioned you? I said, wait. And the Lord said, let's fellowship. And sometimes while you are waiting upon Him, you see your strength is being renewed again. Your visions become sharp. This is the generation of them that seeks the Lord. The winning ways of ministry will be gotten as we wait upon the Lord. He will show you a lifestyle. I tell you the truth and I lie not. There is a lifestyle of men of the Spirit. There is a lifestyle. Can we bow down our heads now and tell God what you did to this man that stands out? What you have done to them? What did you break in them? We look at these people and we are amazed that the Lord has done something unique in their life. God, can you duplicate the same thing in me? Can you break something in me too?
Musa, Manuel, Musa, Manuel, Akata, Yehu, Musa, Manuel, Musa, Manuel, Musa.
The Bible says that the name of the Lord is a strong power. The righteous, running into it and they are saved. The place of safety is in taking our camp in the name of the Lord for time.
Talk
to the Lord.
God is doing something wonderful with my life. God is making something beautiful out of me. And he won't stop till I look just like him. He won't stop till I look just like him. Sanamakosia Namaya.
And sometimes situations get tough. Something makes you want to pull out of the school of the Spirit. And God said, wait. 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 The work has to be completed. It's a thorough job. Wait until you are fully furnished. Don't dump out. Don't launch yet until you have been filled with power from on high. Lord, these men have been working miracles for years and they have never lifted up their soul in pride. Something has been broken in them. These men have been winning millions of souls per year, but they have never come and say, I'm the man in charge. These men, something has been taken from them. Something has been broken. They've seen something that makes them know that the Lord is the one at work. These men have been criticized, abused, but they have never left ministry. They've seen something. In my ministry or the ministry he has committed to my hands. And I was asking him, in the apostolic assignment you have given to me, Lord, you commissioned me. I want this dimension also. And the Lord said to me, said, this dimension that you are asking for, Apostle Joshua, Selman, God told me, say, Selman has pressed into this dimension. If you don't give yourself to his messages, you cannot smell it. So there is no way for you to become proud and say, I'm just a minister on my own. I can't listen to anybody. To say that is to exempt yourself from certain moves, because some men are pressed in enough. And you must be humble enough to come into that gate. What do you think that you want to receive that somebody has not pressed into before to receive? And something makes you feel you are special, and you start lifting up your soul in pride. Will you keep quiet and be humbled? Let the Ancient of Days speak to you. Let him speak to your heart himself. Certain people have broken certain clouds loose, and the rain is pouring. You can't shield yourself with an umbrella. You need to naked yourself so that same rain will fall upon you. Only then can you have the same manifestations. These things is not for men who are working by assumptions. God must speak to your heart, and when he speaks, it will humble you. And he's telling you, will you give yourself to these messages and to say, oh Lord, I am unique. Are you sure? Brokenness comes each time the Lord speaks. And the Lord will speak to you. Can I hear a big amen? The Lord will speak to you. He will instruct you. Amen. You will not walk by guesswork. You have done it. You have done it, but we can't see results. You have lived almost all your years in haughtiness. We are not seeing any result. And the Lord is saying, come closer. When we come to the temple site, there should be no sound of hammer. But let's go to the quarry where we will break you, chisel you, sandpaper you, and then we will bring you out as a showpiece. The glory a minister emits is a function of the scar he has received. And you'll be scarred. You'll be insulted and you'll not be permitted to reply. You will see sin, you will give yourself to before and say, now we are circumcised. We are eunuchs. How shall we look any longer to these things? And the Lord will take something away from you that will take you away from the world. When he meets with you, he will sit upon your life. It will not be you as usual. It will not be business as usual. He will sit, and you must allow him. Because the level of glory you reflect is a function of the range of operation you have given him. He will not force you. He will do things to the degree that you allow him to them. This is how to survive. I want to tell God this morning, as we round up, what you have done to this man,
Do the same to me. And please be sure what you are asking for. Because I tell you, every man that is doing something special at once cried that, Lord, this is too much.
Do the same to me, Lord. Do the same. Do the same. Do the same. Go ahead and talk to God. And don't pray quiet prayers. Come on. Take a benediction.